Hello, and welcome to the 13th Hour podcast. This is episode number 336. I'm your host, Joshua Blum. If you hear a little tremble in my voice, it's because it's cold outside. It's like 6 degrees outside. That's Fahrenheit for all the everybody who uses Celsius, which is probably most of the world. But yeah, it's at least cold for here. We're going to do a show. Let's see, a couple things. I was just thinking of that because my fingers are cold and I'm trying to play the piano right here. And, you know, it's not exactly, cold fingers is not exactly, it's like anything else, right? Your body needs to warm up and yada, but it's not, it doesn't work so well. I'm always very impressed when I see somebody who is playing outside and they're able to do like a lot of stuff with like the guitar and stuff like that. And, you know, fingers don't work so well there. Upside is that if your fingers really get, you know, when you play the guitar for a long time, your fingers start to hurt. You don't feel them as much because your fingers are numb. On the other hand, you can't actually feel the frets what you're actually playing, so that you tend to make more mistakes. Or at least I do. But with a keyboard, I don't know, it's not necessarily quite the case, but I was actually just working on, you know, you still need to move your hands with some alacrity. I was actually working on this new song. So one of the things coming up is an upcoming album. It's another 13th Hour music compilation. I didn't fit it all into the first one, which is Long Ago, Not So Far Away. That one's been out since 2016 or something like that. And so I have, that's entitled Music from the 13th Hour, Long Ago, Not So Far Away. This is more music from the 13th Hour. And the name of that album is called Once Upon a Dream. There's a title track which has that name. And I've been slowly adding music to it. I kind of waited until I had a sizable amount of music that I could actually justify making an album out of it. And we're at that point. And I have really, I think, like one song to do and potentially one small incidental track to put in there. And so then it's a process of creating the artwork and all the other stuff you need to do to make an album. But this album, I think I'll have a few other things that go with it. Like the, you know, as I mentioned before, I'll have some little magnet dolls that go with it for the special edition one. And maybe the figures will be released at the same time. So I'll talk a little bit more about the figures and how that's going in just a second. I thought I'd play a little bit of this this little riff here. So far, it's going pretty well. It's a fairly simple song. I haven't made the backing drum beat yet, and it has a vocal component. But I'm just working on the little riff, and that's how it all starts. It's a fairly simple song. It's in the key of C. And I think I played a little bit. If you are on the Patreon, there's a little exclusive podcast episode that goes out to y'all periodically. And I played a little bit of that at the end of last year. And I was just kind of like getting the ideas kind of like marinating around in the air. So this is what it kind of sounds like right now. I don't play it quite as fast as I will need to. And I play it less fast now because my fingers are cold. But this is kind of what it sounds like. All right, so I'm going to probably play it with not the beat that it's going to have, just one to kind of keep time. So here we go. Let's get that down to thank you. that is the little riff there. Not it's going to take a fair amount of work to get that smoothed out. But that's the basic idea. I've been actually one of my long-term goals is to actually be able to make some of this stuff electronically on the computer, so I don't have to like learn it, you know, because in order to learn it to play it, you know, the old way, like the manual way, it's much more time consuming, and there's a lot of more variation. Maybe that's good in a way. I don't know, because the music kind of breathes a little bit more. It sounds a little bit different from verse to verse, but on the other hand, that also makes it really kind of hard when you want to add more stuff to it. So the only way I've learned how I've done it so far is with a little app called Oxy, which I've made a number of tracks with, and it's very, very handy. But it'd be easier to do it on a bigger screen with a computer. And so I've been meaning to learn how to do that, but I haven't prioritized that. But I have to say, I kind of like doing it manually. In some ways, it's sort of easier, but it doesn't mean you have to learn it. I think it would probably be helpful when I was playing that through. It took me a number of tries to get that. And I think it would be helpful if I actually just like wrote it down. So I have the lyrics. I think I've written out the chords, and I have to print that out and actually use that as a reference. That part I was trying to play from memory. I kept forgetting, which is it? Supposed to be G or C or F or whatever here? I don't know. Anyway. But that's that next chord or the next song should be fun to play. Once I finish the backing track, I'll work on the vocal part, and I'm gonna see if I'll talk more about the vocals later. But the bass track, the bass part of it is supposed to be, as you could probably tell, it's kind of faster and kind of happy, and it reminds me of sort of like an ending song. So there's for my last album, there was an ending song, meaning like in something that would play over the ending credits, and it was called Searching for Forever. It was kind of like an ode to ending themes of like, you know, 80s movies where the credits are rolling and you know, the characters are, you know, riding off into the sunset, so to speak. And so this is kind of like that. And it's actually sung from the song is actually meant to be sung from a woman's perspective. And it's the main character, Aurora, who's singing it. And it's a part of the 13th hour where she and her soon to be husband, Logan, they are about to escape and fly off into the, literally fly off basically into the sunset. After he's a soldier in his kingdom's army. And after he basically quits, sort of does a rage quit, so to speak. And, once they make their escape from the kingdom, then they have to fly off to find this island that they have been looking for in their dreams, once upon a dream. And so it all makes sense if you've read the story. But even if you haven't, it's the idea of escaping and, you know, finding your place in the world, whether it's just escaping from your parents' basement or, you know, figuring out what you want to do in your life or whatever. So that's the theme of that particular song. And the lyrics, I actually have the lyrics written. It was a very easy song to write. And as these songs sometimes are, sometimes they come to you very quickly. Let me see if I can find it here. It's called No Hero. The future is here. In parentheses, the future is here. So it goes, here we are at the end. Well, almost, to be fair. You and me, almost, almost free. We have dreams. We've made plans. Our escape, almost here. There can be a place for us, I believe. When I think of our tomorrows, the future looks all right to me. Just as long as we're together, think of all the possibilities. And then you take me in your arms. The future is here. I don't care if you're no hero, because you are one to me. What do all those people know, telling us who we ought to be? And then you take me in your arms. The future is here. So it's like, it's kind of one of these, it's like a very teenage kind of song, you know, stick it to the man, F all those people. What do they know anyway? But that's kind of the tenor of the that part of the book anyway. So And I think that would sound great. If I can figure out how to do it in a female voice, if I can, you know, convince my wife to do the vocals, I think she has a great soprano voice, I think, and stick some reverb on it, and I think it would sound great. So, I don't know. That's something for the upcoming month or two. But for right now, I just got to get the backing track set. So let's see, what was I going to talk about? So backing track of No Hero and the new album. Oh, so the figures. I've been assembling the figures, the 13th Hour figures, and it's going pretty well. I've assembled a bunch of them. Let's see how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then two kind of bit the dust. Like two, there's two of them that I have to do something with. These are ones I was just going to save for, I think I was just going to save for myself anyway. I would like to, I don't know, when I was making the limbs, I used a kind of resin called SmoothCast 45D, which I can't get anymore. There's a resin shortage. There's a shortage of a lot of things. And I can't get this particular kind of resin anyway, but it works well, and I used it for most of the limbs, but it was, I think it was before I learned how to use it, or is maybe some of the batches were kind of inconsistent when I mixed it. So sometimes the limbs came out a little softer, and then one of them, this is one I was just going to save for me, I used a softer kind of resin called Flexit 80. Now, I have another one that's the next hardness up called Flexit 90. It's actually a lot better for making action figure arms and legs, but this particular kind, the 80, is a lot squishier, and it's good for things like Muscle Men and some of the other minifigures that I've made before, like a Logan and Aurora. When you make it in that form, the limbs will bend a lot, and they're more durable in a way because they're not brittle. But for something like this that has to fit in a joint and move, yeah, it didn't work so well. And some of the ones when I made the joints, they were too they were too thin or too small, and so they broke. So I have to work out some of those pegs. I've worked out a way, I think, to fix that, but we'll see. The other thing I thought I would do, though, and this is, again, just something I thought I would do for me, is to, I have the original prototype figures that are, they're a combination of the original sort of kitbashed figures that I made, plus a fair amount of, like, clay, you know. I thought I would just paint those up and just save those, because right now they kind of look like Frankenstein figures, but I figured why not paint them in the ways that they already are, just to kind of to have those as actual initial copies. So that's coming along. The other thing too is I've got the Rocketeer Lego minifigures that are basically done. I have I put some clear coat on all the pieces that have decals on them, like the helmets, and then the paint job of the rocket pack, just to kind of protect it, because otherwise it will. It'll eventually wear off, as is the case with just about all painted toys that I had in like the 80s. The paint would wear off after a while. So it's not that the clear coat won't wear off. It will, of course, but it just does a little bit extra insurance that it won't quite as quickly. So, and it gives it a nice shiny sheen. So I've done that as well with the 13th Hour figures. I initially thought I would not do that, but I ended up doing it anyway. Because, again, for kind of the same reason, I wanted it to protect certain parts, like the paint job around the face and some other details and things like that. So just barrier protection. So the figures are coming along, and I think I figured out how I'm going to pack the other figures, I think. At least these little Lego minifigures, because they come with a bunch of parts. And once again, this is a fundraiser I'm doing for two organizations. One is Dave Stevens, who's, of course, created the Rocketeer. And then eventually, I don't know how much credit he sort of got from it. I mean, I think he saw the fruits of his labor. But he had a fair amount of trouble along the way. You know, because the Rocketeer was a homage to a lot of stuff that came before, right? It has the comic book, that is, it had an homage to, like, The Shadow and Doc Savage and Betty Page and I'm probably missing something. Rondo Hatton and a lot of the sort of pulp kind of serials that came out, you know, in the early to mid part of the, you know, 20th century, Commando Cody and that kind of stuff. And he loved all that kind of stuff. And I think when The Rocketeer came out, even though it wasn't a huge comic book, I mean, he didn't have licenses for any of that kind of stuff. The rights to use characters like this, you know, Doc Savage and The Shadow and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think if he had tried to get the rights to it, it probably would have been a nightmare, and he probably would not have been able to. So they're never named in the comic book, and I think he got around it that way. But still, you know, I think he ran into some legal trouble with some of the studios. When my brother Jeremy came on, we talked about Red Sonja and Conan and stuff like that. Why Conan couldn't be called Conan in the Red Sonja movie, you know, stuff like that. It's just small and petty. It's about people that wanting money and all that kind of stuff. But he ran up into that issue, and so I think he did get to see, you know, he was around for the movie. He was a consultant on the movie, and he was even in the movie a little bit, and people who made the movie had him there. I mean, I think they did appreciate how much work he had already done for them, but he made their job a ton easier because he'd done all this research and he basically just provided them with all that information to do period specific kinds of stuff. And so I think he did get to see the fruits of that, but I don't know if as much as he necessarily would have liked had he lived longer, unfortunately. So he passed away fairly young of hairy cell leukemia. And there's an organization that, there is a National Hairy Cell Leukemia Foundation. So that's one of the organizations that this is going to, the fundraising drive. And then also to another one that I don't know if it was around at the time of his passing, but it's called Hero Initiative, which is a organization that will help comic book artists. You know, comic book writing and illustrating is, I think, still, in many cases, a gig kind of job. So many people may not necessarily have health insurance and stuff like that. So it's an organization that's dedicated to helping folks with, like, basic medical expenses and stuff like that if they can't afford them. From conversations with Dave Stevens' sister, his younger sister, I think he was okay from that front. And I don't think he utilized that organization. I don't know if they were around at the time. I think he passed away in 2008. So, but still, it would have been a nice thing, I think. And my guess is that he probably would have supported something like that for his colleagues. That's what the Rocketeer figures are going towards. And then, of course, they're going also towards my kids. And I'd like to keep one or two. But I got these little cases for them. And the little hard plastic cases to fit the accessories, because there's a pack, rocket pack, that's arguably maybe the most important part, plus the helmet. But there's also a head, Cliff Secord head, and then two weapons. There's a Tommy gun and a Mauser pistol. These are all the things that you can find made for Lego figures, and I'd like them all to fit in this little case. So what I think I'm going to do is make the cases out of little inserts out of cardboard. I think, you know, normally when you buy a figure, usually has this plastic in the background that'll hold the figure in place, and any accessories, it's sort of vacuum formed plastic, clear plastic, that is very, very thin, and it's kind of crinkly. I don't have the ability to make that, and even if I did, I don't think I'd necessarily want to have lots of other plastic floating around, you know, making more plastic in the world. You know, there's already enough, and so I don't want to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily want to do the whole card back thing, because a lot of times people just, you know, throw out the card, they throw out the little plastic clamshell type of thing that fits over it where the figure fits in. So I figured if I were going to do a case and not just a little little plastic Ziploc bag or something like that, that I would actually make it something that you could actually use as a storage case. And so the case that I have, it's about, you know, like about 3 inches square and half an inch deep. But what I thought I would do is fill it with pieces of cardboard. I was trying to think of things that I could use to fill up the space that would hold pieces in place. I have lots of cardboard lying around, and I think I could cut the pieces and make little inserts for them, and then that would be fairly easy to duplicate. So I'm going to test that out and see. But that's going to be the basically carrying storage presentation case for these little figures, and I'll have a little wraparound kind of label and stuff like that. That I'll have a picture of the Rocketeer. That is actually, I scanned in the cover of it. It's taken from the VCD of the Rocketeer. I found in a Chinatown. So there's more on that later as I make that. But so that's the part about the Rocketeer. Speaking of which, my brother had sent me these Rocketeer trading cards from 1991. For my birthday, and I've been slowly going through those, opening them. I opened another one the other day, and you can see that, and there'll be a link in the show notes. It's on, where did I put that on? TikTok, maybe, or Instagram? Anyway, it's on one of the socials. I'll periodically be doing that, going through the cards and opening them there. They're quite fun. These don't have... I seem to remember these things had gum in there, but these ones do not have gum. It's probably better. I wouldn't be eating the gum anyway, but they have in the back, it says like official Rocketeer movie souvenir magazine. And I wonder if it's the one that I've referenced before. I think it actually is. Yeah. The movie souvenir magazine is really a good one. I found mine on maybe like Etsy or something like that, and about a year ago, and from 1991. It's got a lot of good pictures and some information about the making of and all that kind of stuff. So it's good stuff. And it's like, and it says, fill the photos for Rocketeer movie, profiles of the stars and filmmakers, 68 full color action packed pages, money back guarantee, order by mail. So you have to send a check or money order for $2.95 plus $1.55 first class postage, 3 to 6 weeks to delivery. So anyway, it's good stuff. But these cards are so they actually feature, interestingly, the way the movie was. It's very weird because the way the movie was presented, or sort of in the media at the time, was it was part comic book, part part movie, and the movie promo pictures were not done by Dave Stevens for the most part, but they were using kind of like almost a Dave Stevens look, and some of his imagery got kind of copied and used and done by other people. It was weird. It's unique in its own, and that's why she's shown having like the red jacket and everything like that, and and even the cover of the movie, the Art Deco cover that was used for the movie, is similar in some ways to that. Last thing is, the last podcast of the month is going to be a Q&A, have a Q&A segment. And I'm going to try that, as I mentioned, for the next couple of months as an experiment to see how that goes. To ask anything, you know, as long as you're okay with having it being a part of the show, it's certainly fair game as far as I'm concerned. There's a number of different ways to submit questions, and a number of you already have, and so thanks so much for that. I'll be looking forward to answering them, and there's a lot of great ones that have come in so far. I should make another post on, like, sort of more officially on social media for other questions. But if I don't get to all the questions, like if it's too long or something like that, they'll go on for the next month. Or maybe I should actually, I think I'll probably try to get through all the questions, but because I at this point I have enough that I can just do in one episode. But if it happens that there are too many, then they'll either go on to the next month or I'll just do another one. I'll do, like, the next week, I'll just do a part two. So the questions will get answered. And the other thing too is that if you've submitted questions and you want to have a shout out toward anything that you do or somebody or something, and I don't already know about it, obviously just let me know. It's also a chance for to showcase whatever you want you to be a part of the show. Much appreciated. I will be recording that. Probably the deadline for that will probably be about a week beforehand. So looking at the calendar, because that will be for the 31st of January. And so that would be the deadline for that would be basically next week, the 24th. That way I have that week to record the next episode. All right. So, hey, thanks so much for listening and for being here. Hope you are staying warm. Hope you're staying safe. And I will talk to you guys in the future. Hey, a couple last minute things before you go. Thanks for listening to this show. If you liked it, you can find many more on the website 13thhr.wordpress.com or on your favorite podcasting platform. You can often find behind the scenes information about this show and other things that I do on social media such as Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You'll see links to those in the show notes. Sometimes people will ask me, how can I help contribute to the show or other things that I do? And probably one of the easiest ways is by going over to Facebook and looking up the Facebook group called 13th Hour Arts. And it's a place for not only to discuss these kinds of things, but also for you to share your own creative process and the things that you're doing that bring meaning to your life. You can also do things that are entirely free, such as leaving a review for a book, music, this particular podcast, share it with friends, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, email me, WriteJoshuaBlum@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your suggestions and comments. You can also leave a one-time donation over at Ko-fi, and that's ko-fi/13thhr. It's basically like a virtual tip jar, kind of like the sort of thing like a piano player might have at a bar or something like that. For a small amount, you can also leave a donation on a monthly basis at Patreon, and that helps bring new things to this particular show and to support future projects. And that's at 13th Hour Arts. It's also a place for patrons to share their own creative process and the things that bring inspiration and meaning to them. I hope by sharing a little bit of the creative process in this particular show, it gets people to cultivate that aspect of their own life and to remember that those things are important, even if you are an adult and you may not have time for it. Hopefully, by paying attention to those aspects of your own life, you can remember your own dreams and aspirations and help create a world and make a world that you want to be in. And at the end of the day, that's sort of what the 13th Hour is about. So thanks as always for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next week.